As we were driving home from my oldest piano lesson the other day, my kindergartner was counting by fives, and I hear him like 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, 100. And I was like, hey, buddy, good job. I was like, really surprised he could do that. And he's like, oh, well, it's easy. You just skip four numbers, and then you say the next one. And I was like, what? Like, at no point, if I were to describe counting by fives, would I include skipping four numbers? Like, I realize that, I mean, at this point, obviously, like, as a 40-year-old, like, I just have it memorized. But if I were to explain to somebody, I would think about it, like, in groups. I'm a very visual learner. Like, I would think about counting the next group of five and just saying the total. But if I were to explain to somebody, like, how you go from counting by fives, like, 15 to 20, at no point would I be like, then you're going to skip 16, 17, 18, and 19 and just say 20. Like, that never would have crossed my mind in my first round of explanations, and probably several other rounds, to be honest. And it made me think about sometimes we just need a fresh perspective on things to be able to do something new and different and hard.
Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, Mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life. Creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully and, in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms. But, spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, Mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story. And I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD.
Before we dive into today's episode, here's our review of the week. This one is from M. Lewis Met. I love Patricia. The topics she covers are well-researched. This podcast has been so helpful and relevant in my life. Things I don't even know I need to know, I'm learning. Being a mother and a wife is hard, especially with an ADHD brain. This show has helped me be better for my family and for myself. Oh, yes, ma'am, it is hard. And I am so proud of you for working to be better, not just for yourself, but recognizing how much it affects the people around you and the ripple effect that our actions have on our families. It is not a selfish thing to take care of yourself, because that is how you take care of the rest of your family. So high five, you're doing great. If you have not yet left a review for the podcast, please head over to your app, hopefully hit 5 stars, and let me know what you think.
Over the last month or so, I've really cut back on my social media, trying to break some habits and like find the right ways to create boundaries in my social media usage. And so I've just been popping in to check on my Facebook groups. And the other day when I opened it up, the first thing that popped up on my feed was this Facebook group that I'm in for chronic illnesses and POTS. And the post that popped up is this girl's asking for help and saying like, does anybody have any good recommendations on like she's specifically looking for a psychologist that could do therapy, but also prescribe medicine, but wanting alternative therapies. She's like, I have tried all the things and everyone I see, it seems like what I'm dealing with is too much for them and they don't know how to help me. And I've done all the things. I'm like, I need something different. And I'm like reading through the comments and this person posting kept saying like, well, that idea is not going to work for me. That idea is not going to work for me. And like, besides the fact that psychologists can't prescribe medicine, like she's hoping for like this all-in-one solution. And a lot of people were like, hey, like I have not found an all-in-one solution. Cause usually like if somebody has a specialty, like they have a specialty, not all-in-one solution. There's like this part of me that was torn because on one hand, I'm like, I get it. Like I've been there in those places where like I have tried everything and nobody can help me. Like where's the person that can help me? And at the same time, this person kept saying like, no to all the ideas that were coming in. And it felt like they didn't have a fresh perspective. So like when I was pondering this episode of like, here are my kindergartners giving me fresh perspective on how to count by fives. And like, here's this woman who's like trying desperately for something that's extremely important to her and yet can't find a solution. It's like, how do we keep that open mind and look for the fresh perspective on something when we feel downtrodden, when you've done all the things, when you've tried all the things? And like, sometimes that's with your health. Sometimes that's with your kid who's struggling and you don't know how to connect with them. Like, there's so many times in life, especially as moms, like that we feel like we've tried all the things. We have done all the things we can think of and we don't know how to fix the problem. So I want to offer you five ways that we can look for a fresh perspective on something when it feels like we don't have any more answers, when it feels overwhelming, when we feel burnt out. Where's the fresh perspective that can help us move forward? So I fully believe like there is nothing new under the sun. Like there is someone out there that has an answer for most things. Like, yes, there's plenty in the world we don't understand yet. But like a lot of the problems that you are dealing with, somebody else has dealt with too. And somebody somewhere found a solution for this. So how do we look for that fresh perspective when it feels like we tried all the things? Right. Number one, having the awareness that we want to look outside the box. And like I told this lady, hey, I know that my advice is probably not what you're looking for. But if you're looking for like literally like what's the thing that I can't find, then we can't look inside the box. Like it may not be that this person has more credentials and it's like one person gonna solve all the problems. Maybe that's not the thing to look for. Like what else can you look for outside the box? And I think when we have ADHD, because we often exist outside the box and we're always trying to find a way to like squish ourselves inside the box, that a lot of times we look for a solution inside the box because we think that's where we're supposed to be. So like I told her, yes, like do go see a psychiatrist for medicine. But like, can you look at a functional medicine doctor or like a neuroplasticity coaching? Like, I never ever thought that I would be one over here supporting functional medicine because I was such a like in the box person. Like, that's how I functioned with my ADHD was like, how do I stay perfect? How do I do all the things? How do I check all the boxes? Like, if you had asked me 5 years ago if I would be like functional medicine, neuroplasticity, take all the supplements. Like, no, that would not have been me. But now I know that like, I can't stay inside the box. That's not me. And I have to look outside the box for different information. So first is just that awareness of knowing that like, I'm willing to look outside the box. I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone to try something different, especially when we've been trained to stay inside the box, that it's okay for us to look outside the box and that we want to look for things that exist outside the box. Number two, we have to hold an open mind to hear the same things over and over again to find the gem. So like you can hear it in my voice. I'm still trying to get over this sinus infection. And I was saying like, I am doing all the things I can think of. Like I have my usual regimen of like, what do I do with a sinus infection? Because this is one thing that like, I mean, pre-pandemic, it's like I would get one every year and I knew my little spiel to do to try to get rid of it. And like, I had to admit, like, I am not getting better and I need extra help. I went to the doctor a second time to do more things. I asked one of my clients was an ENT PA. Shout out. Hey, Kimberly. Thank you. Like, she's like, if you need any help, let me know. And I'm like, at this point, like, I will take literally any and all advice. Like, tell me all your things. And yes, you know what? Most of the stuff she told me, I'm doing. But there were like two or three things in there that like I did not know. Or like one was like something I had done in the past, but, like forgot about. And she also told me something that I probably shouldn't be doing. Good to know. Like if I had just said like, oh no, I already know all the things. I'm already doing 53 things to try to get better. Then I wouldn't have found those 2 to 3 ideas to say, hey, I'm willing to try these other things in order to get better. So I had to listen to hearing the same thing that I've already done 14 times in the last month in order to find the things that I didn't know about. So we have to have an open mind to be willing to hear the people tell us the same things over and over again so that we can pick up the little gems that lie within that we may not have heard of. Because if we don't say we'll listen to other people's advice, then we'll never get to that one gem that we didn't know about.
Before we continue on, I want to say thank you to our sponsors whose support allows me to bring you this podcast for free. I have reduced the mental load as a mom by using the Skylight calendar. Over the last few months, it has been in our kitchen with adorable pictures of our family and our family calendar. So this keeps me from being the gatekeeper. I love that it is visual, color-coded. There's a chore chart with emojis for kids who are still learning how to read. The app is super convenient, and you also have the option to connect it to your digital calendar. This has been a game changer for us to all stay on the same page and avoid those unfortunate miscommunications that happen. As a special offer, you get 10% off your purchase when you use the code Patricia at skylightcal.com and get your very own digital calendar frame. That's skylightcal.com and the promo code Patricia to save.
Number 3 is to ask the right people. It's important to be around the people who get you. Like this lady in the Facebook group asked them the right place. She asked a bunch of people who are also struggling with chronic illness and POTS and dysautonomia and all this stuff. That's the right people to ask. Because when you have tried all the things, you get it and you can help someone feel seen and understood and heard. Like that's super helpful to like have that camaraderie. Like, yeah, this is really hard. That matters. But we also want to be asking the right people because yes, again, they may tell us 14 things that we've already done, but they are probably the most likely the ones who are going to have that little snippet, that little gem that's new to us and we didn't know. Like last week in group coaching, one of my students was like, hey, I'm really struggling with trying to get through all these computer tasks. And like we were talking about time blocking and how I teach time blocking, but like in a different way for ADHD. It's not the traditional time blocking that you read about because moms don't have giant blocks, one. And two, like we can't divide tasks the way other people divide tasks. So for example, where she was struggling is she wanted a block for computer tasks, but she's like, I have a lot of computer tasks. I have volunteer work that I do. I have like paperwork I do for the kids' school. I've got this, I've got that. Like all these things are floating around my email. So if I sit down to do a computer task and I know I'm going to work on my volunteer project, then all of a sudden I see this email from the school that I forgot to respond to. And then I end up down a rabbit hole and I never circle back to the project. So when we say time blocking, a lot of times what we get is too vague, like computer tasks, too vague. Instead, what we need to do is break it down into the smaller steps. Like when we have ADHD, a lot of times we think of doing the project as one step. Like when you actually think about doing a project, there's a lot of different steps that go into it. It's like, you know, having a plan, getting the supplies, finding your information, looking at your requirements and your parameters. Then there's the actual like making the plan, actually doing the plan, cleaning up all the stuff. Like there's a whole bunch of steps in there. And our brain just goes, do the task. But going into her email to get the information about the project and then seeing the other email about school means that that gathering step of going to the email to get all the stuff you need means you're also finding other things that you need to do. That gathering of information and like sorting through the emails is a different group of tasks that is separate from actually doing the volunteer project. So that means that for us, when we have ADHD, like dividing things into different kinds of activities is really helpful for us. So my suggestion to her was like, hey, if you go into your email and you're finding three other things that you need to do, then that means like we can make a block that's just doing that. Like go into the email and sort through all the things that need to be sorted and answer the little things from school. Like that can be a separate task or it could be two separate tasks. But when we know that that is accounted for, when we enter our email and we see that other thing, like, oh, I forgot to respond to the school. When we know that that task is accounted for elsewhere, and we know that that's in my sort through the email tasks, then we can go into the email and not worry about it. Or if that's, you're like, no, man, I'm still going to worry about that. That makes my brain hurt. Then in that case, I say, okay, cool. Then that means that first we need to do the gathering. Let's sort through the email and deal with all the things before we do the project. So that means instead, now this block is sorting through the email. And the next block you have available will be actually doing that project. So that is like the flexible part of like when you have an ADHD friendly system, it's not like I'm sitting down and I have to do this thing right now. It's like, okay, well, what piece am I going to do right now? And I know that those other pieces are accounted for. And that means that when you actually sit down to go do that project, you won't get into your email with a whole bunch of other things jumping up at you because you already did that. So we create these systems like make sense for your brain. And we set up the steps to make sense for you. But she was like, well, I never thought about it that way. Like I never thought about the fact that like going into my email to get the instructions from the person that I'm doing the volunteer project for was like a different activity than actually doing the project. It's like, yeah, when you know how your brain works, you can start to see things in a different way. And it's a huge stress relief to know like there's a solution here. I just offered three options to figure out how to avoid this email black hole. And it's flexible. You're not stuck with whatever you decided. You can make it fit you. So you want to make sure that you're asking the right people, people who understand ADHD brains, when you're trying to solve an ADHD problem. Number four is giving yourself credit for what you've already done. It is hard to see things from a fresh perspective if you're not giving yourself credit from what you've already done. Like the other day, I was talking in therapy about struggling with like timeliness and stuff. And in general, I've made huge strides in being on time to things. There's still a couple of places where it's a struggle. And I don't expect those things to like magically go away. I don't expect to like never have problems with time. But like when I was talking to her about it, like the frustration that I was talking about was actually like that it upsets my husband when we're running behind. And I'm like going through like, I have tried all the things. And she's like, well, have you tried this? Have you tried that? And of course, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And then I was like, and you know what else I've done? And I listed off all the stuff. And she was like, wow, like you've done a lot. Like, have you celebrated the fact that you have tried all of these things in order to solve this problem? Like, it shows that you have really worked hard to find a solution here. And I was like, oh, you're right. And she's like, you know, what if you talk to your husband about like, I'm sorry that this is affecting you. Here's the 43 things that I have done in order to like work on this so that you understand how this is important to me. Because a lot of times like when we hear ADHD as an excuse, the other person doesn't see the work we put in. And it's probably because we didn't give ourselves credit for it. So if I say to him, look, this is really important to me. Here's the 43 things that I did to try to solve this. And I haven't found the solution, but I'm going to keep trying. Then he knows like, hey, Patricia really did try. Look at the 43 things she did. She's not just saying, oh, oops, my bad. I'll work on that. No, I won't. Being able to like give myself a pat on the back, like I need that reminder to say, I'm doing a lot here. And you probably need that reminder too, ma'am. Like when you look through all the things that you've done, it's like, okay, yeah, I have been trying really hard. And then it also gives the other person like evidence too of like, see, I have been trying very hard. But anyway, that's another topic. Okay, so that's number four is giving yourself credit for what you've done helps you stay motivated and give you the like oomph forward to continue to look for a perspective shift. It's not that you're being lazy and that you haven't tried to figure it out. Like you have done a lot. You've really tried hard. And that will help propel you forward in knowing that you're really working hard on this thing.
Mama, are you looking for some extra support? Could you use a few more like-minded mamas in your circle? Here is your official invitation to join our Facebook group, the Motherhood and ADHD Community. Here you can ask questions, share advice, but most importantly, know that you're not alone. Click on the link in the show notes or search on Facebook for Motherhood in ADHD Community. So come join our little corner of the internet with other mamas who know how your brain works and won't look at you crazy when you share what's floating around inside there. Instead, they'll say, I get it. I've been there and I know how that is. So come on, what are you waiting for? See you in there. Again, that's the Motherhood in ADHD Community on Facebook.
Okay, and then number five, to find a fresh perspective on something, is to examine your old perspectives. Like, do they still fit you? Like, does it still fit your needs? Like, you'll hear me a lot say, like, old Patricia would have done this, but, like, now I don't. Like, a lot of times we forget that, like, we change and we grow and we're different, and what we needed before isn't necessarily what we needed now. And even yesterday, I was working with a client who was just super overwhelmed. She's like, I don't know how I'm going to get all this stuff done. I'm going on a camping trip this weekend and my partner is going to travel next week for work and then we're going away for Thanksgiving and, you know, I've got these volunteer commitments and the kids are off school tomorrow and then I got to go check with the guidance counselor for my other kid. And it's like, she's feeling really overwhelmed. And like one of the first things I do, like when I check in with anyone like that I'm working with, is they'll be like, hey, where are we right now? Like sometimes we need a big deep breath, and like sometimes like we're struggling because of mindset, and sometimes we're struggling from like a tactical reason. And like this point, she's like, I don't know how I'm gonna get all this stuff done. And that was what was causing the overwhelm. So we like brain dumped everything that she had going on and sorted it through. And as we're going through this list, she goes, well, I need to go to this meeting tonight, but it's like 2 or 3 hours long. But you know what? I'll just stay for like an hour and a half or 2 hours. And I was like, meh. Red flag, two ADHD red flags in there. One, she said, I'll just stay, blah, blah, blah. Anytime we say, I'll just, no, you won't. No, you won't. You're probably not going to do that. So like that tells me right there that like we're trying to find like a reason to justify something that like may not be the most realistic solution. And the other red flag phrase in there for ADHD was, I need to. Whenever we say, I need to, whenever you hear that phrase come out of your mouth, I need to, then I want you to ask why. Why do you need to? Need is an obligation word. And so we want to look at, like, why do we feel obligated to do this thing? So when we dig into it, she's telling me, like, this meeting is for the same volunteer commitment as, like, all the prep she needed to do for this weekend. So she needs to pack for this camping trip, and there's also a meeting about the camping trip tonight. So when we're talking it through, like, why do you need to be at this meeting? Especially because if she's telling me, like, well, I'm going to leave early, that tells me that, like, you don't feel like you need to be there the whole time. So why do you need to go at all? And when we dig into it, it's like two reasons. One, the security of knowing. Like when we have ADHD, a lot of times we miss information. So we feel like if we have more information, more research, we investigate more options, we go to more meetings, we get more information, somehow this is going to help us make the right decision. And at some point, like, we have to cut off the amount of information gathering we're doing, because it's different if it's like, hey, I don't know what's going on, I got to go to this meeting to get the information about the trip. That's a different conversation if you know very little and need this information for the trip, versus I already know 95% of what's going on and I'm going to gather another 2% of information here. In that case, like, spending 3 hours to get 2% more information is not worth it. And the second part is, she was like, well, I said I'd be there. And a lot of times when we have ADHD, we've been told that we're flaky because we forget things, or we feel flaky because we, you know, missed something, or we're like trying to make up for the fact that we screw up and mess up stuff and miss things. And a lot of times, like, we don't feel like we follow through on our word because we forgot. So we do things that we don't necessarily need to do, and we say yes to things that we didn't really think all the way through if we, like, should have said yes or not. You know, I don't use the word should very often. Like, did you really think through if that was a good yes or not? Like, it is okay for you to say, like, I'll think about that and let you know. You don't have to give an answer right away. But when we say yes to something and then we make the commitment, then we feel like we have to follow through with it because we said we're going to be there. And now we're like, I don't really want to be there, or I can't be there, or I have too much going on. When I asked her, like, are you attending this meeting because you feel like you're obligated to, or you feel like it's giving you some security? And she was like, ooh, I never thought about it that way. It's like, well, when we have ADHD, like, a lot of times prioritizing is hard for us. So we have to make this, like, concerted effort to slow down and ask ourselves the questions of, like, hey, in this meeting, are you, like, a key person here? Are you the one leading the meeting? Like, are you adding some kind of, like, significantly valuable contribution where they need you there? Or is it something that you need to get out of this meeting? Like, is it, like, you can't get this information otherwise? I was like, if, say, you got a stomach bug all of a sudden and couldn't be at this meeting, would you be able to get the information that you needed? Like, would they be all right? Would they be okay? Would it be all right that you weren't there? And she was like, oh, I never thought about that. Because in that moment, what we needed to, like, figure out was, what's more valuable? Like, this meeting and the packing you need to do for the meeting is for the same thing. It's the same volunteer commitment. It's the same trip. So which one is more valuable in the moment? Is it being at the meeting, or is it packing and preparing for the trip that the meeting is about? And as we start to, like, work through these logistics, it's where we can start to dig into, like, where are these pieces in our mindset, the way of our, like, perspective, like, are not serving us anymore. It's like, well, you know what? We can sort through to be like, hey, you know what? You're not flaky by not going. They don't need you there. You can shoot an email and get the information that you might miss and still feel secure that you have all the things that you need to be able to go on this trip. And, like, after we worked through this, where she realized, I don't really have to be at this meeting. I am not needed, and there's nothing there that I can't get through an email. And she was like, wow, you just saved me, like, 3 hours, probably four when you include, like, driving time and stuff. Like, now her list felt totally doable because she just got 3 hours back in order to complete everything. And it was all because old perspectives weren't serving her. She's not a flaky person. She's very responsible. She knows what to do on this trip. She has that security. So those old perspectives were not adding to her solution. So we don't have to hold on to those things that no longer serve us. Yes, questioning them takes some time out of our day, but spending 15 minutes talking through that means that she got 3 hours back that she didn't have before. So when you are in a place where you're like, ugh, I am overwhelmed, I don't know how to get all this stuff done, or I keep trying all the things and I, you're like, it doesn't matter what I've tried, nothing's working, I've tried all the options, I don't know what to do, there's no other ideas out there, I would challenge you to find the fresh perspective. So those five things to look for a fresh perspective were being aware that you want to look outside the box, having an open mind to hear the same old to find the little gems hidden in there, making sure that you're asking the right people, people who get it, people who understand, people who, you know, have been through the ringer, giving yourself credit for what you've done, examining your old perspectives that may not be serving you, and finding a perspective that does serve you. So if you want these kind of perspective shifts that can help you find 3 hours in your day and let go of the shoulds that are weighing you down, or finding the flexible solutions that make your day feel less stressful, I am here to help you. Today is the last day to sign up for the early bird registration for Lighthouse, my group ADHD coaching program. The next group's going to start in 2024. Now, I know you're thinking, what, 2024? I can't even. Patricia, it's still November. I know. But the holidays are going to get going. It's going to be here before you know it. New Year's, kids are back in school. About midway through January, you're going to be like, I need to get my life together. And here, enter Lighthouse Group Coaching. We're going to get it together. This is a small group. So if this is for you, please sign up to get your spot now. Because I want you to know that after our first session together, you're going to know how to stay cool at the holiday party when your Uncle Roger starts with his political BS, and it won't ruin your day because you know how to stay calm and cool and collected and master your emotional regulation. Now, the opening is only for the people who are on the waitlist. So if that's you, go put your name on the waitlist right now, patriciasung.com/group-waitlist. Put your name on the list. I'll email you all the details. And if you're not sure, go ahead and put your name on there, because if there's any spots open come January, then I'll open it up for everyone. So now's the time, patriciasung.com/group-waitlist. You're going to learn the skills you wish you knew growing up to make adulting easier as someone with ADHD, and then you'll be able to teach all of these skills of how to live well with ADHD to your kids. So I am wishing you a fresh perspective today, Mama, and we'll talk soon. Have a great day, successful Mama.
For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.